be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite.
Well, welcome, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. It is Friday, the 20th of March, 2015. Oh, well, you know, I've been doing a lot of research lately, lots of research, and just, I've found it fascinating, folks, and I really recommend that you do what I've been doing, and that is to sit down and write. And teach while you're writing. Teach yourself as if you're teaching someone else. Teach yourself. It's the way to learn. I'm telling you. And what I've realized is that, you know, we have had a guest on a few times, Arthur up in Canada, Mr. Arthur Kobarinski. He has said, so, you know, when you're looking at the dictionary, especially a specific one, which was the 1889 dictionary of William C. Anderson of law, he says, And he's right. As above, so below. He says, you know, look at the word above and the word below, and you're going to find that they have all, every single time, they have something to do with each other. And what I'm now figuring out is it's not just the above and below. It's everything above and everything below. The dictionary doesn't end at Z and start at A. It starts at M and continues through A. It's one just circular motion. How do I explain? It doesn't end. Every word has some aspect, some meaning to the other. It's an endless loop of, well, I guess you could call it, I guess you could look at it as the Ouroboros, the snake that looks like it's eating its own tail, but it's actually speaking itself into existence, and around and round and round it goes in infinity, never dying, because it keeps speaking itself into existence. You can look at it, if you're a science fiction fan, you can look at it as a causality loop, where the the starship gets stuck in time and keeps repeating itself over and over and over, just like we keep repeating our actions over and over and over, which, by the way, was, of course, the notion of insanity put forward, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, you know, that's what the legal language really boils down to. You know, we give different names for different conceptual parts of the language or of the code that we call law, but it's really all just one big thing. It's not like you can go to one point of the law to defeat the other. The things are interconnected, and it's really undefeatable. That's the thing. Once you're in it, once you're in that loop, that causality loop, that matrix, if you will, you can't get out of it in the matrix. And I thought about this a lot as I was writing today, and I realized that we have to actually come to an acknowledgement. We actually have to come to an understanding. And when I say understanding, I go and I refer to the legal word of understanding, which means to stand over, to stand under the notions that we understand. We have to understand, stand under our own disposition. So we have been dispositioned, I realize now. We've been purposefully tricked into believing all of these untruths, which is an amazing feat if you ask me, but it's one that's been going on generation after generation. They call it the mystery, right? The mystery school. And you think about it, and you really start realizing that we are in this causality loop. We talked about the cycles. We talked about Plato's five cycles of the aristocracy, to the democracy, to the oligarchy, to what we're in now, which is democracy, which is the worst possible place you can be, and which only can lead to tyranny. There is no evolution. It can only devolve into tyranny at this point. But the tyranny is always there, and the aristocracy is always there. It's a never-ending loop. And when this thing we call a nation becomes less than the power of the world, and some other nation becomes the power of the world, guess what? The ancient Roman law, and probably what existed before the Roman law, the Roman Empire is still going to exist. It's just going to exist somewhere else. Washington, D.C. won't be the center anymore. It's just going to move, because what is it? It's the law of the sea, folks. It is the law of the sea. The sea doesn't end. Just like the legal language, the sea wraps around the world. Just like the Admiralty International Law, nations exist all around the world. The law of nations, therefore, exists throughout the whole world. It's the sea. Whether it's land or it's not land, doesn't matter. Land just means people. That's the crazy part. Land is us. The law of the land means the law of us. It's when we decide to enter into commerce through some artifice, some person, some thing that is not real, where we can no longer touch the land, and we're all of a sudden in the sea. And it's an amazing realization. But the most important thing is that we actually have to know one very important thing, and I know people aren't going to like this. We are cattle. You know, I know people have said that before. It's nothing, not a new concept. It's not a new analogy. However, it's one thing to say it's an analogy and compare yourself to cattle. It's another to admit to yourself that, hey, we've been so tricked and so fooled and so put into mystery and so absolutely enfranchised into the belief of something that doesn't exist that we are cattle. It's sort of a strange thing. Now, the definition for lying in franchise is a term descriptive of waifs, of wrecks, of estrays, and the like, which may be seized without suit or action. So if you're in a franchise, if your franchise is the word free, if it, free means to put into a franchise, so that's a term. Another term, we don't understand what it means. To free someone or to free a slave means to enfranchise them and incorporate them into the surname, into society, as a quote-unquote freeman. Well, that doesn't mean you're a free man. It means that you are in a state of voluntary servitude, that you are a voluntary slave instead of one that's forced to be a slave. That's all it means. See, we think that we know these words. And the thing about words is that they're all lies. That's the amazing part. You know, you come to the understanding that everything is a lie, that anything you can come up with, anything that I can say, it's a lie because it's only words. Words are not the real thing. And I'm starting to realize that more and more. I call, I'm on a computer. Really? Am I on a computer or is that just a word? Am I on a computer? Am I in the computer? Am I operating the computer? What am I really doing? Because right now I'm not touching it. There's nothing real about my words or my definition, my description about the quote-unquote computer. You know, if the computer dies, if it crashes, God forbid, I could still call it a computer. I just have to add a new term. My computer is dead. I have a dead computer. I have an inoperable computer. It's still a word. It's still just a lie. It's a name attached to something real. But the name is always fictional. So when I say lying in franchise, I literally mean a lie caught up in a franchise. That franchise is called freedom. We've talked about freedom before. What is freedom? Well, what did Plato say about freedom? Freedom becomes the ultimate goal of the democracy. It becomes the unending pursuit of money. The freedom to do this and the freedom to do that goes against everything that the aristocracy was set up for in the first place, right? There is no freedom is a franchise. So we're sitting in this thing. It's just, you look up the word luxury, right? We're all after luxury. That's what money buys, right? That's what luxury is a wonderful thing until you realize, well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's actually all part of this democratic state we're in, which is a state of utter self-interest. Luxury, excess and extravagance. Well, okay, that's great. Which was formerly an offense against the public economy, but is now not punishable. That's how it's defined, folks, luxury. I know you all want luxury, but how can you have luxury unless someone else doesn't? You can't have luxury. Luxury is always at the expense of others. Therefore, as it says, it's always an offense against the public economy. If the economy is based on the competitive seeking of wealth, of excess and extravagance. Not that excess is bad. Excess in the public good is great. But personal excess, personal extravagance, that's where you go and you start devolving. You see, the nation wasn't started for that. All you constitutionalists, and of course constitution is just a word. All constitutions come from the Roman Empire. You call it the Constitution. You put a name on the Constitution that is Constitution, but you look up Constitution, it's just a debt contract or compact. But you call it the Constitution, just like you call the Bible the Bible. It wasn't the original name, but you call it that, and you have a value put upon it. Well, the Constitution is no different. Constitution is a lie, folks. Every word, every description, every law, it's all a lie. And of course, the Bible warns you against this. So, what does it mean to be an estray? Now remember, an estray and a wreck, which is a shipwreck, and a waif, all may be seized without suit or action. Well, that's because you're already a citizen. You're already judged. Your ship already belongs to someone else. You're just a seaman. Waif are goods found. Well, remember what a foundling is. You're a good. Remember that. You know, what did KW tell us? He said that his, I can't remember who it was, but he got a hold of a document that said that, that his, I think it was his cousin or someone, was goods. Goods. That's what we are. We're cattle, basically. So, goods found. Well, when something is found, it becomes a treasure. It becomes, as we talked about yesterday, prize. A prize. Booty on the land, prize at sea. It's good founds, but claimed by nobody. Oh, well, that's what happens at birth, remember? The whole system is set up to make you not claim your own child. That of which everyone waives the claim. Remember, you don't claim your child. You give it up. You abandon it. You forsake it at birth. All goods stolen and waived or thrown away by the thief in his flight for fear of being apprehended. Waifs are to be distinguished from bona fugitives, which are the goods of the felon himself, which he abandons in his flight from justice. Justice is another funny word that you shouldn't get confused as a good thing. Maybe I'll cover that later. Excuse me. So, okay, that's a waif. How about a wreck? Well, a vessel is a wreck. It means to destroy, to disable, or seriously damage, to reduce to a wreck or ruinous state. Remember, we are states, each and every one of us in a state, by any kind of violence to overthrow, shatter, or destroy. To cause to crash or suffer ruin. What do you think happens when we take citizenship? We are destroying ourselves. We're smashed and demolished. We are salvage, another word for wreck, right? What happens to your baby? Well, it's abandoned, it's wrecked, It's a waif, and so its goods found, and it's salvaged as a wreck and made into a ward of the state. It also means to preserve. Disorganization, destruction, serious injury. Remember what injury means, right? Injury means injure, means to put in to the law, to drag into a legal state. Serious injury of anything. Well, that's what happens to us at birth. We are injured immediately. We're injured into the law. Stolen from God's creation, put into the legal world. That's what happens. Serious injury of anything, especially by violence. Goods cast ashore by the sea. The sea. Which sea are you talking about? Well, goods that are not claimed by the owner within a year or other specified period, which in our case I believe is 7 years, which in such case become a property of the state. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds familiar. Also called jetsam, flotsam, and liggin. Never think of yourself as jetsam and flotsam, do you? In the common law, goods cast ashore from a wrecked vessel, well, that's your parents, where no living creature has escaped from the wreck alive, well, that's you. You're not alive. And which are forfeited to the crown or to persons having the franchise of wreck. But if claimed by the true owner within a year and the day of the goods or their proceeds, must be restored to him by virtue of statute. In maritime law, which is the law of the sea, a ship becomes a wreck when, in consequences of injuries received, she is rendered absolutely unnavigable. Very important word. We've heard of navigable waters, right? To navigate is another word to act in commerce. On our virtual waterways, our highways, as referential to the high seas, a highway. When you become absolutely unnavigable or unable to pursue your voyage without repairs exceeding to the half of your value, a wrecked vessel, in common phraseality, includes a sunken vessel. Vessel is a ship. We've talked about that. A craft or other craft used in navigation. It's more comprehensive than just a ship, though. It's always of the sea. It is any structure which is made to float upon the water for purposes of commerce or war. Well, we do both. Commerce is pretty much a state of peace, which is war. You see, we use a war name in commerce, our nom de guerre, the war name. Any structure, especially a hollow one, made to float upon the water for purposes of navigation. Gets real interesting when you start having the imaginative possibilities here, when you actually start seeing it for what it is. To be navigable means capable of being navigated. Do you think you're capable of being navigated? Well, do you get up every day, go to work? Do you send your kids, your vessels, your little vessels to school? Do you follow all the legal laws? Do you do everything you're supposed to do as a citizen, as a seaman on your vessel? I think you do. I think you are navigated, and I think that you use all the ways, the highways, the streets, the roads that are all virtual waterways. I think all of you listening are probably guilty of that, just as I am. And that's the beautiful thing. Again, when you wake up, you're not waking up to call other people something. You're waking up to yourself. You're waking up and realizing that by describing anyone else, you're also describing yourself. You can't escape it until you change it. Had common law understood in a more restricted sense, subject to the ebb and flow of the tide, the doctrine of the common law as to the navigability of waters has no application in the country. Remember, we're talking about common law. Who's common law? What's common law for? And which kind of common law are you talking about? Common law in the United States isn't what you think. You know, there was a division of common law. It's kind of an interesting story when you get into it, because there was the Anglo-Saxon common law, and then there was the modern common law. Well, the Anglo-Saxon form of common law was basically do no harm to others and have they'll do no harm to you. That was it. That was what the true equity of what common law was. How do we define common law here and in England and where it came from all the way back to Rome? Well, that's quite different. Common law, as we call it, again, it's just a name, right? You could change the name or you can keep the same name, and the thing will either change or stay the same. Doesn't mean it stays the same. Just because we have a constitution doesn't mean everybody else doesn't have a different constitution. It's just a frickin' name. The common law is all of the decisions of the Dom Court. It's all the decisions and all the precedents that are set, not the opinions. The opinions are separate of the actual outcome of the case. The opinions are important, but not that important, it turns out. It doesn't matter if you're quoting a losing opinion or a winning opinion. They're equally as important. But the decision, that sets the precedent. That sets the outcome and the interpretation of the law. That is our common law. It's up to attorneys, lawyers. Remember, attorneys and, well, specifically lawyers were burned to be executed on sight way back when in the dawning of this nation, which is kind of a funny story. But, you know, King came along, of course, put an end to that back in the 1600s. The doctrine of the common law as to the navigability of waters has no application in the country. So in England, no waters are navigable. In fact, because they're not subject to the tide. So in reality, there are no waters. But in legal land, in the Admiralty Law, where you flood the land with the sea, that changes. Tide water doesn't hit. Navigable water signifies substantially tide water and navigable water in England signify substantially the same thing. But in this country, the case is widely different. Those rivers must be regarded as public navigable rivers in law, which are navigable in fact. Oh, okay. Law and fact. Okay. You think those two are the same, but got to remember, law and fact are two different things. Law, remember, is what the court decides. They establish the law. They establish how the law is going to be applied. Fact has nothing to do with the actual law. Fact is the truth presented, the perception of reality that is presented in the court. That's what a fact is. Fact can be a lie or it can be an absolute truth. But once it's presented, whether it's real, whether it's fantasy, whether it's a complete lie, it becomes fact. It becomes the truth of God because the jury is there under oath to God. Therefore, anything that happens must be true. It must be fact. Waters are navigable when they are used or susceptible of being used in their ordinary condition as highways for commerce. What do you drive down, folks, when you go interstate? What do you drive down probably every day? Some of you going to go to work, some of you to go shopping, whatever it is. You're driving on a highway. Some highways are two-lane roads. They're not even called highways anymore, but they still are shown on the map as highways. Sometimes you don't even know it's a highway. So something navigable is when they are used or susceptible of being used. So there you go. As highways for commerce, over which trade and travel are or may be conducted in customary modes of trade and travel on water. So again, you know, you don't see the water, folks. The highway doesn't look like water, but that doesn't mean that it's not, because we're talking about fiction here. Remember, commerce is a fictional entity. commerce doesn't exist in reality. When I go pick an apple off the tree and I give it to someone in exchange for an orange, that's not commerce. Commerce is a legal term. Okay, so the fictional act of my person picking and trading, my legal person, my legal existence, that's where commerce comes into play. Customary modes of trade and travel on water. Now, what are the navigable waters of the United States? Waters are navigable waters of the United States, quote unquote, when they form in their ordinary condition by themselves. So now we're really talking about water there, something that a boat can go on, because obviously a road can't be built by itself. But you see, it gives the caveat. So it's something that can be formed by themselves. That's certainly water, and ships can certainly, real ships, real schooners can certainly use them as highways, or by uniting with other waters. Huh. Well, other waters can be anything, remember? It can be concrete. It can be dirt. A continued highway over which commerce is or may be carried on with other states or foreign countries in the customary modes in which such commerce is conducted by water. So, carried on with other states or foreign countries. Well, let's not forget we've got the NAFTA superhighway all under admiralty law. In fact, it's so international that they don't even really consider it part of the United States. You go there, and then you come to an inland port. Remember the inland ports? Got one here in Salt Lake City. You get here by the 15, which is our main freeway, and then the 80 crisscrosses uptown. Those are the two interstate and international highways. Go right up to Canada and right down to Mexico. You never actually have to step your foot into the United States because, see, water is a very important thing because water can't be necessarily owned. It is always a public entity. You can own the land under the water, but the water itself has to be free for travel, free for commercial activity. You can't block the water if it's part of a navigable highway. You can have a private road, and that's private. You can block it. You can stop. You can put a gate up. You can do all kinds of things. But if it's a public road, you can't. You see, that's the problem with all of our highways being privatized and handed over to J.P. Morgan Chase and other banks out there to run the tollways for us. They're being privatized. The public highways are being privatized. Well, why not? They're not really under any constitutional constraints. They're not really even hardly a part of the United States anymore. They've been declared to be international waters of commerce. They're under international law. This is how America, quote unquote, is simply losing any notion of sovereignty, the type of sovereignty that we've always believed in, but it's never been actually real. This is how globalization is happening. This is how all places and cities and nations are being interconnected simply by water, simply by the law of the sea. It's that simple. Back to this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Sometimes it's a bit baffling to understand what this unappealing object is all about.
Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously through all of our sensory systems in the form of energy, all of our sensory systems, and then it explodes into this enormous collage of what this present moment looks like, what it feels like, and what it sounds like. It explodes into this enormous collage.
Here at the Corporation Nation, what does it mean to be found as Flotsam or Jetsam? Remember, a found is actually a noun. To be found or to be a foundling. Remember, a foundling is a deserted or exposed infant, a child found without a parent or guardian, its relatives being unknown. It has no descendants, no lineage, no blood to be claimed, and therefore it becomes a ward of the state. It has a settlement in the district where found. Remember, district means distrain and distress, so it is immediately put under distress and distrain. Well, to be found, let's explore this. A person is said to be found within a state when actually present therein. Patient removed to a sanitarium in a county was found in county. But only if a person is in a place voluntarily, and not by reason of plaintiff's fraud, artifice, or trick for purpose of attaining service. Okay, so remember, we're all here voluntarily. It does not necessarily mean physical presence. Presence is another legal term. Your presence in the court does not require you, only your person. You don't have to be there. An attorney can be there for you. You know, it works that way. Okay, we're not talking about physical presence. We're not talking about nature here. Defendant who, after removal of action for breach of a contract to federal court, entered a general appearance. In other words, a general appearance. He just threw himself at the mercy of the court, basically, by general. Remember, general is the sort of the lowest form of general. Means people, means common, means vulgar, means goyim, it means the same thing. Public. Defended on the merits and filed counterclaim was found in the district. You see, so you found within the district because you threw yourself to the mercy of the district court. As applied to a corporation, it is necessary that it be doing business in such state through an officer or agent, or by statutory authority in such manner as to render it liable. Render. Caesar is rendering you liable then to suit and to constructive or substituted service of process. And to such an extent that actual presence is established. Remember, you have to establish things. The United States was established by a group of men. It didn't just come out of nowhere. It was established. It was ordained religiously by a group of men. That's what it says in the Constitution, for God's sake. Excuse me. Founded. Founded on. All these funny words. So, we're talking about being navigable. In other words, being steered in a ship by the laws, as municeps. That's what a municipal corporation is for, is to guide the municeps. To navigate is to journey by water, to go in a vessel. To sail or manage a vessel. You don't have to be sailing. You just have to be managing a vessel. To use the waters as a highway for commerce or communication. Those two words are very similar. Hence, to direct one's course through any medium. Any medium. Let me say that again. Commerce or communication on a highway means to direct one's course through any medium. It can be land, it can be air, it can be sea, it's all... You know what, folks? Guess who... Lister made this point the other day, and I thought about it, and it's really simple. Why is it that the Navy, the standing army that we call the Navy, and Navy's a very interesting thing, why is the Navy in charge of space? Why do they have uniforms, space uniforms, in the Navy? Well, because space is just a different medium. It's not air, it's not water, it's not land, it's the void, if we want to call it that. It's something else, it's the ether. Well, don't you think that the law of the sea is going to cover that too? It covers everything else, for God's sake. So what makes you think that space is just not a different sea that's going to be explored by different kinds of vessels that house other vehicles, I should say, that house other vessels, which are us, right? Space stations, what are those going to be? It's going to be international ports. They're going to be inland ports, in space ports. But they're still going to be in the sea, folks. This is the same sea that has flooded us since the dawning of time. Since the dawning of government, I should say. To steer as a ship, especially to operate an airplane or airship. But I want to make that clear, folks. Use on waters is a highway for commerce, communication, to direct one's course through any medium. It's all legal. It's all artificial. It's all a lie in the first place. So to say that space, the land, that the air is all water, why do you care? It's just a lie anyway. The whole thing's based on a lie. Everything is regulated as a lie. You are regulated as a lie. All the lies apply to your lie. All the laws, excuse me, are lies that apply to the lie that is your artificial person, which is a lie. Is what I'm saying. You know, you realize the whole thing's a lie. You realize the whole language is a lie. Every noun that is created, which is the name of a person, place, or thing, is not the real thing. It's just a name. Navigation. The act of the science or the business of traversing the sea or other waters in ships or vessels. In regular navigation, may be used in contradiction to occasional rather than unlawful and refer to vessels that alone or with others constitute lines like cruise lines, etc., and not merely to such as are regular in the sense of being properly documented under the laws of the country to which they belong. Well, your car is properly documented, your automobile as a vehicle is properly documented under the laws of the country. In other words, it's registered as property of the country. The rules of navigation are defined as the rules and regulations adopted by commercial nations. No, not just the United States. All the nations. In other words, the law of nations. To govern the steering and management of vessels approaching each other at sea so as to avoid the danger of collision or fouling. What are lawmakers? What are the police? What are the military? What are all these people out there? They're just referees. They're refereeing the commercial game we're all playing. They're making sure that we don't collide in violent harm to each other as we conduct commerce in our false names for our false governments. Make sure that all our lies stay lies. Make sure that we stay liars. That's what they're there for. What do you think police are there for? They're there to control the municeps. You ever heard that word? I know you've heard the word municipal. But have you ever heard the word municep? Well, what do you think municipalities are for? It's to control the municeps. What do you think a municep could possibly be? Well, I mean, if you're a cow on a municipal farm, who do you think the municeps are? Right? For municipal purposes, what are municipal purposes? What is done under municipal purposes? Well, it's public. Public. That's all. Public or governmental. Purposes as distinguished from private purposes. All activities essential to the health, morals, protection, and welfare of the municipality. Do you think you are the municipality? No, it's that building called City Hall and all of the corruption that stems from it. You're not the municipality. You're just cattle in the municipality. This word, well, let me give you an example. Here's the example it uses in Black's Fourth for municipal purposes. Now, this is very ironic because I've talked about this before on the farm I used to work for, which, by the way, was the second oldest farm in all of Utah, was started before government even existed in Utah. The guy that started it, his family was the scout for Brigham Young here in Utah. He had a federal right-of-way, which surpassed anything the state could possibly take, yet they took it anyway because the guy wouldn't fight it. No matter how much I talked to him and said, look, everything they're doing is illegal, you can fight them, you can sue them, you can, I mean, problem is he put his land, he put his inheritance into a corporation because it was easier to manage the farm as a corporation instead of a separate entity. They started bugging him. They started saying, you can't sell your milk here. In fact, the local sheriff, who I've written about before, the sheriff who sold his county, the guy who privatized the entire sheriff's department, as so many sheriffs are doing all across the country. Unified. unification, the unified police department. Yes, right, no more deputies. You can either talk to the sheriff or you can talk to a police officer that used to be a deputy and is now very upset that he's only a police officer. He's just a municipal police officer now. We have one sheriff. He wears two hats. One as a CEO of a private corporation of a police force of what we call deputies, but it's only a name, right? They're not really deputies. And then we have the sheriff who wears the lawful hat, the one where he was elected, but you know he doesn't use that very often because nothing we do is really applies to that anymore. It's all privatized. Privatized in this case, not a good word. For example, the taking of land for municipal purposes, such as land for a school. Oh, well, yeah, that happened, yeah. That was eminent domain. Because even though that land was passed down from generation to generation before this state even existed, at the time when they were still killing Mormons because they were so damn evil, they were killing people themselves and forfeiting, counterfeiting gold. Oh, but that's not part of their history. We don't talk about that. Sorry, let me rephrase. Taking of land for a school, lighting the streets, etc. The collection and disposal of garbage and refuge, that's a municipal purpose. I suppose when they collect us waifs, when we're drunk and in the park, I suppose that's a municipal purpose too. The collection and disposal of garbage and refuge, or the building of a subway, those are municipal purposes. Municipal taxation refers to municipal purposes that are beneficial to the municipality as a whole. Again, that's not us, folks. We are something else. We are something called municeps, which is a Latin word in the Roman law. It meant eligible to office, a provincial person, a countryman. The designation of one born in the provinces or in the city politically connected with Rome, who had come to Rome and through a Roman citizen. So that's your natural born citizens, folks. It doesn't make you the people, just a citizen. Yet was looked down upon as a provincial and not allowed to hold the higher offices. Well, that's us, isn't it? I can't be president. You can't be president. In the provinces, the term seems to have been applied to the freemen of any city who were eligible to be municipal officers. Remember, freemen is one word. I was always after Bert about calling himself freeman. You know, the principles of law are very clear. The law only recognizes two types of person. You are either a slave or a freeman. A slave or a freeman. And that's one word, freeman. You have the franchise of being free. Someone just sent me a very hilarious message, by the way. Very simple. If you're not familiar with Dean Clifford, perfect example of someone who wants to believe so badly that he's free, never figured out that he's not. Dean Clifford is free, but no confirmed details right now. Oh, really? So Dean Clifford is free. You know what that means, folks? He was released from incarceration. One thing Dean Clifford is not, and one thing I am not, and perhaps the difference between us is that I understand it, and maybe he doesn't. I am not free. He is not free. But we have a franchise that we call being free. Again, we are municeps. We are freemen, which is a word, a lie. It sounds like we're free, but it's not. We're not actually free. Slaves were free when they were released from slavery, but what were they released to? They were released into the municipal powers. They were declared to be freemen. Well, folks, what does that mean? It means you're in a franchise. It means you've been incorporated into the municipal structure. It means you've taken the surname and you're operating a vessel in commerce. You're an international citizen. You're a citizen of the United States. You are not free in the sense that you're a man of God and following God's law of do no harm. You're not that. One thing Dean Clifford is not is that. But we can call him a freeman. We can even call him a free man as compared to being in jail, but he's not free unless you say the title of free, which means to be enfranchised into a corporation. See, that's the new slavery. That's what the 13th Amendment talks about. Yeah, no involuntary servitude or slavery. Well, they had to create the 13th Amendment in order to create the 14th Amendment, which basically made all this everybody a voluntary slave. No involuntary servitude or slavery. No involuntary. Involuntary. That means not voluntary. I don't know what to tell you, but that's the purpose of the 13th Amendment. The 14th Amendment could come alive and make us all enfranchised into Admiralty International Law and out from under the Constitution. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015, with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who will shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free your mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Is this real? 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 Or is this just a ride?
The world is like a ride. You think it's real? It's real. It's just a ride. We can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice between fear and love. The world is like a ride. You think it's real? Think it's real? It's just a ride. We can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice between fear and love. The ride goes up and down, round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored. It's up and down, round and round, and it's very loud, loud.
All right, folks. Welcome back. Oh, good times. What is a municipal charter? Folks, everybody, every one of you has a municipal charter, and every one of you should be reading it. You're going to find that the fact that most people don't read the charter is why they don't understand that their government is not for the... Well, it is for them. It's not on their behalf, though. It's not there to serve them. Certainly there to tax them and for the betterment of the municipal corporation. Municipal charter, and the other thing you're going to find when you look at your municipal charter is that the city manager is really the one in charge. The city council, the idiots I guess you're the idiots because you elect them. You participate in the voting franchise. Yeah, that's what it's called. It's a franchise. It's not a right. It's a franchise of freemen. Oh, I love words. They're so false. We put such romantic, patriotic titles on things, and yet they mean the opposite. Municipal charter. You're gonna find that the city manager. Most cities are created now or recreated into a city manager thing where there's a council and a city manager. The city manager is basically the guy that the city council puts all the stuff on. He's the one that hires everybody in the municipal corporation. The city council just says yes or no. That's about what they do. They pretend. They dress up in fancy suits. You know what? I consider the city councils kind of like the waiters in a fancy restaurant. They dress up. They look nice. They speak as if they know what the hell they're talking about, which usually they don't. Usually they're just crime, you know, organized criminals that wouldn't know how to govern if it saved their lives. But what they can do is raise their hand and say yes or aye or nay. So they're kind of like the fancy dressed, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed waiter that comes out and gives you the sense of comfort that, yeah, America is still white. America, you know, look, these nice, fine young kids, white kids are, you know, you go into the back, of course, all the cooks are, half of them are illegal. The busboy comes out. He's you know, from another country and doesn't maybe speak good English. But as long as the waiters are there, it gives you a false sense of that things are normal. Things are what they used to be. That we don't allow people to come in, quote unquote, illegally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I have my own opinions on all of that stuff. In fact, you know, there was a great story. I'm gonna read that here to you in a minute if I can find it. It was actually kind of funny because this stuff is happening absolutely in the open. Yeah, I'll get to that in a second, but absolutely in the open. It's crazy what's happening. But so. Your charter basically sets up the fact that the city manager is the boss, and all the power is delegated from the council to the manager, which is an appointed position. You didn't vote for him. And guess what? In an emergency, the manager takes over. The city manager, he's the one that calls all the shots. Council gets out of the way. The manager takes over the entire town. It's just like a president when he declares a state of emergency, just like a state of war. That manager is going to become your dictator, your appointed little dictator. That is what your charter says if you read the damn thing. Municipal charter is a legislative enactment conferring governmental powers of the state upon its local agencies. They are agents of government. That's what an agency is. Just an agent. These people assume power and they have you enfranchise them through your little franchise you call voting. It's voluntary, in other words. We'll be back.
With financial